The 9 till Noon Show on Highland Radio.
Okay, so in 8 days' time, we'll be voting in the general election. And for what it's worth, and some people think polls are great and others don't trust them as much, there's an awful lot still to be decided amongst the electorate out there as to who will take the 5 seats. There would seem some certainty in some areas, certainly no certainty in other areas, and questionable conclusions in others. So it is all up for grabs. And we have an opportunity for you next Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, maybe, to finally make up your mind. Your vote is incredibly valuable. Where is it going? It matters. Every single vote matters. This is, of course, the Dáil election 2024. We're focused on the Donegal constituency. 20 candidates are contesting 5 seats, and we've got 3 debates next week. On Monday, we have John McNulty of Fine Gael, Patrick O'Gallagher of Fianna Fáil, Mary T. Sweeney of Aintu, Piers Doherty of Sinn Féin, Jerry McKeever independent, Arthur Desmond McGuinness independent, and Frank O'Donnell independent. So a quality lineup there. On Tuesday, Nicky Bradley of Fine Gael, Charlie McConnellogue of Fianna Fáil, Pádraig McLoughlin of Sinn Féin, Carol Gallagher of People Before Profit Cannot Make It, Charles Ward, 100% redress, Vincent J. Bradley independent. We have had no reply from Niall McConnell independent. And on Wednesday, we have Claudia Kennedy of Fianna Fáil, Thomas Pringle independent, Nuala Carr of the Green Party, Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party, and Kim McMenamin, Irish National Alliance. And unfortunately, Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin is not coming. He wasn't coming then, he was then, he isn't. It was a bit of a communications mix-up. So really, of all the candidates, certainly of all the major party candidates, the only person unable to attend is Noel Jordan of Sinn Féin, which is interesting, particularly given what's at stake in the Donegal area. Thomas Pringle in the latest poll, polling very well, of course. Claudia Kennedy is in there hoping to get herself into the mix. And as I mentioned, Nuala Carr of the Green Party will have some interesting things to say, I'm sure. Eamon McGee of the Irish Freedom Party can't make it, sorry. And Kim McMenamin of Irish People National Alliance. So that would have been it is still going to be a very interesting panel, but unfortunately Sinn Féin are not going to be represented on that panel. And it ain't for me to defend them. Right, okay. Isn't it interesting that we heard about the dangers of talc years ago and it was still on sale in shops for several years after? When corporations know that their products are harmful to humans and still sell them, it shows where their priorities lie, and it's not human health. It's an interesting one because just in relation to that, I mean, it's still available, isn't it? If they were to withdraw the product, does that leave them open to billions of euro of claims and an admittance that it is problematic? I don't know. Hi, Greg. Does the Ukrainian ambassador think we're all stupid? Ukraine and Israel are proxies for the US government. Sinn Féin and others should be more outspoken about this and stop wringing their hands and shedding crocodile tears. There is a speed van in Cranford and the roads are slippery. You can only crawl as you have to be safe. What are they trying to achieve? A money-making scheme? Well, it would be a strange money-making machine because where that speed van is located, you'd be lucky to get up to 40 kilometres an hour this morning, let alone the speed limit, which is 80. I think they're scheduled to be there and they've just turned up, even though if they get anyone today, they deserve to be done for speeding, I would say. Right, okay. Last night, Ballyglisane, Highland Radio's new radio drama, broadcast the first episode. Did you hear it? What did you think? I enjoyed it, but I'd be love to get your feedback on it. It's a drama series set in a small town somewhere in the heart of Donegal. You probably recognise it because it sounds like everywhere, where we meet various people who live in Ballyglisane and learn about their lives, their problems and their secrets. One storyline follows a murder investigation, but that's not the only story happening in this small town. So you obviously have missed the opportunity to listen to last night's show live as it was broadcast, not live, but you know what I mean. It is available for you to podcast, I believe, right now. And we're inviting you to join us each week, every Wednesday evening, as the story unfolds and the lives of the residents of Ballyglisane unfold before us. And there is that murder investigation to track as well. So did you listen last night or this morning, perhaps, by way of podcast? Let us know. 086 60 25,000. Be interested in your feedback there. And if you haven't listened to it, go over and give it a listen and tell us what you think. It would be interesting. just before the new before the break. Hello, I'm looking for a bit of help. In October, I received a fine in Donegal Town for her not having an up-to-date tax disc on display. €60 fine. I did, however, pay for my parking. I tried to appeal it with the council and explained that my car had recently broken down twice since August, one time on the way to Letterkenny for my oncology treatment. The second was mid-September. It cost me over €1,000 to get repaired. I always have tax on my car. Rather than getting a letter from the guards to say it was off the road, I paid the back tax. I was just waiting to the end of the month. I explained all this to the council and told them my car is currently broken down again and was towed away last week. They've rejected my appeal and said I have two options, pay the fine or go to court. This has left me very upset. I'm a law-abiding citizen driving for years. It just all seems really unfair. I also think they want people to shop but are charging for parking in the town. It doesn't seem right. Curious as to what your listeners would think. It's an interesting one. So really, from what I can determine here, is the car wasn't actually taxed on the day it was parked in Donegal Town. And that is a function also of the traffic wardens. The tax has been paid through back tax and what have you. What do you think this person should do? Obviously, the car wasn't taxed, right? I think we've established that from the letter. Do they pay the fine? But if they go to court and explain the situation as they have to us, is it possible that a judge might look favourably on that and sort of take it into account and cancel the fine? Do they have that within their power? I simply don't know. Do they look at it and say, I'm very sorry for your situation, but the car was parked in public and it wasn't taxed, so there's nothing I can do? I don't know what the law is there, but maybe some of you have appealed it in the courts and had a favourable outcome. Because, of course, then you have to, don't you? You can represent yourself, but often you would have to then pay a solicitor. And maybe that person should seek legal advice. And we're not offering legal advice here. We're just asking for other people's experiences. Right, I think we recently gave away a decent chunk of cash as part of the Vision Ireland Radio Bingo. I don't have the stats directly in front of me, but I know I think it was 400 up for grabs yesterday. So that must have meant that the daily prize was won. It starts at 400 every single day, and then there's 200 added every day it's not won. That's your daily prize for playing Vision Ireland Radio Bingo. And then there's the big jackpot, which was won not so long ago, over 10 grand, I believe it was. And also what you're actually doing is supporting Vision Ireland. The books are a fiver. They're available in all the local shops to you. Obviously, play for fun, play to support Vision Ireland, and play well within your means. My word, we wouldn't want anyone without money buying these bingo books. But look, you know yourself, you know your own life, but you're also supporting Vision Ireland, which is really important. And there's loads of money being given away all the time. Is the jackpot going to be given away today? I don't know, but here's the numbers, and that might help. Just some news breaking this morning. A man has been arrested by Gardaí investigating the explosion in Chrysler in 2022, in which 10 people died. The man in his 60s voluntarily presented himself at Dundalk Garda station this morning. He was arrested shortly after 10 a.m. His solicitor, Joe Rice, confirmed it's understood he's been arrested for alleged reckless endangerment under the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act of 1997. So he's been arrested for alleged reckless endangerment under the Non-Fatal Offences Against the Person Act. As we very sadly know, 10 people, including two teenagers and a young child, died in the explosion in Chrysler on the 7th of October 2022. So far, four men and three women also died in the blast. So an arrest this morning after a man in his 60s voluntarily presented himself at Dundalk Garda station. We'll bring you more on that as we get it. Right, Kim McMenamin's a candidate in the general election for the Irish People Party. Good morning to you, Kim.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
All right, just before we get on to your commentary on housing, just a reflection on the latest opinion polls. I'm not sure how much weight you put in the opinion polls, but the TG Cahir poll had you polling less than 1%. Are you looking? Do you think that's reflective of the feedback you're getting? Are you looking for a major drive over the next week, or is this really just about getting your views on the public platform, so to speak?
I am not too keen on polls. I think, you know, polls sometimes don't tell the true story of what's happening on the ground. I'm getting great feedback on the doors. Absolutely, everybody wants change, and I just want to say, some people are saying, Sinn Féin could be the change. Not many are saying that, but a few are saying it, and they are not the change. Look, they're a globalist Marxist party. Like, they have turned around, like Sinn Féin TDs in April 2023, they voted in favour of hate speech. Now, that's to censor me and you. That is communism right there. And then in March 2024, they call for a proposed hate speech legislation to be scrapped. They wanted to scrap them, so they've done a complete turnaround because they knew that the people had caught on to what they were doing. And then in with the mass immigration, open borders, Sinn Féin were accused for advocating for open borders back in 2021, right? And they were prioritising multiculturalism over national identity. Their 2018 presidential address by Mary Lou MacDonald, she emphasised Ireland's diversity, stating Ireland is no longer merely orange and green. Ireland is a rainbow of identities and cultures.
Is that not true, though, Kim? Okay.
So, I mean, if you go, look,
is that not what the country is? I mean, go into Letterkenny University Hospital if you go into Letterkenny University Hospital, for an example, it is not green and orange. We are a diverse nation now, and 40% of healthcare workers come from outside of Ireland. So is that not a statement of fact?
Well, you're talking about the orange and the green. Well, the green, like the Irish people feel they're being pushed aside. That's what I'm getting on the doors. They feel they are, like, not getting the services they should be getting. They're not getting the housing they should be getting. Meanwhile, everybody else seems to be getting, you seem to be more favoured if you're from another country. And I know, like, there is genuine refugees who do need emergency accommodation, right? But so do Irish people. So the Irish people feel that they are being pushed aside. That's the bottom line. No one's against people. We're all for people. And we're all for, helping people.
You're in favour of a fair immigration system. So you believe immigration is needed as long as it's fair.
Well, it needs to be controlled more. Like, you just can't have open borders and everybody gets in. And I've heard stories that buses are now coming onto the runway and they're getting off the planes and straight onto these buses. They're not even going through the airport. And it's just because they don't want people to see that.
I beg your pardon, Kim, sorry. Just onto housing now. You believe that people should have a right to build to the extent whereby that, reasonably large construction or extension should be planning free, should be planning exempt.
Well, it's called the right to build scheme that we're pushing. And I think, do it under emergency powers, whatever they have to do, because they used emergency powers to lock people down. And that's one thing Mary Lou says, we're not locking them down enough. You know what I mean? So we can't have these globalist Marxist parties, because that's what they are. They're totally gone extreme left. The loony left are alive and kicking in Ireland, and it's just gone too far. Everybody thinks they've gone too far, and they should be punished at the polling station. Mm-hmm. You should be punished. Don't be fooled by them. Look, I stopped those 66 men, single men of military age, being put in beside our schools in Bunkrana last October, and the Bunkrana people came out and helped me. It was great. We stopped them. They're away now, right? So we saved Bunkrana in a sense, right? Now, all the parties are sort of like, they're doing a soft line now on immigration, but these very same people called me far right and racist back then. Mm-hmm. And now they are coming around because it's election time, almost saying the same as me. Let me finish my sentence, please. Now, if people are going out to vote, you've got to vote for me if you want a voice for you. There's no other way around it.
I know, Kim. Can I ask, because I asked a question about housing, and now you're talking about vote for me. But my point is that...
But they're totally linked, Greg. They're totally linked.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Let's go back on housing then.
So in terms of quite a bit of development would be exempt from planning altogether.
Well, you can build a garden shed now in your backyard, right, 25 square metres without planning. You can do that, but you can't live in it, okay? That's the rules. You can't live in it. So we're proposing to extend that to 65 square metres because that will allow people to build like a two-bedroom condo-type flat in their backyard. That will get the young adults out of the childhood bedroom instead of just having the choice to go to the airport or stay in the childhood bedroom. Now that will give them a chance. So, like, there's too much regulation. The planning authorities have gone, like, they've gone too far with planning regulations.
Just in relation to that, would there be any conditions to that? Because, I mean, obviously a lot of people listening here might be living in, you know, in a housing estate environment or semi-detached, you know, and it could be an older couple on one side and the family you talk of on the other, and next thing you know, their vision lines or their sunlight is blocked by a two-bedroom apartment in the backyard. Would there be, how would you consider the concerns of neighbours with those types of developments, Kim?
Well, you just keep the height restrictions, because we don't want someone building a skyscraper in their backyard, right? So just keep the height restrictions and allow fast track it, allow people to get something in their backyard to help their family. You know, to stop them from emigrating, to stop it splitting families up, because that's what's happening, you know, Rick.
And just in terms of extensions too, you also believe, do you, that extensions, if to in a current property, your current property should be exempt as well?
Yeah, extensions as well, up to 65 square metres exempt, yeah, from planning. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, but again, height restrictions are important. So, like, you can't just go like three story in your backyard. You know, it wouldn't be. There'd have to be that stipulation, that regulation would have to be in place. But look, it's an emergency situation. We have a housing crisis, so we need emergency solutions. Now, they can do lots of things under emergency legislation, like they lock everyone down under that. They made everybody wear masks under that. So, emergency legislation, let's enact that. Let's use that now. Just now, this is a stick and plaster. But look, we need it sort of quickly to give people a roof over their head fast. Like, we can't keep up this level of emigration of our young workers, educated, brought up in Ireland, and they have to go.
Yeah.
Stay in the bedroom or go to the airport.
I suspect, though, it's as much too, though, about, you know, most of us can't retrofit because we don't have the money to even pay the 10 or 12 grand to retrofit our homes. I'm not sure how many people in the situation you described would have the, you know, 40, 50, 60 grand lying around to build granny flats and apartments in the backyard. But it is a proposal, and we'll see what the public think, Kim.
Well, it could be, you know, could be grant aided as well. Like, you know, people could get grants for this, because look, they can give grants for everything else. They can conjure up billions when they need it. They give 60 billion to bail out the bondholders during the crash. Like, they can conjure money out of thin air. So if they can do that, and you better believe it, they did not print that money. Like, that was a promissory note. And where the collateral, where the assets that they're relying on to get that money back. You know, they're just using the people. Look, everybody just wants a peaceful life and they just want to get on with it. Now, imagine if you expanded a person's expendable income, Greg. Look, currency is called currency because currents are meant to flow. You imagine if that was expanded, like during the Celtic Tiger, when that saving scheme came in, when you saved so much money, you got money off the government. Like, people were able to afford cars, an extra car. They were able to go on extra holidays. So the currency was flowing. So that means everybody was happy and smiling. Right now, it's just misery. And the people who are coming from abroad, right, the globalists are creating wars out there and making those people miserable in those non-EU countries. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, they want to come to Ireland because the globalists have created the problem. And now, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael government coalition, they're coming up with a solution. Yeah. So it's problem. Reaction solution.
I get you.
The Hegelian dialectic is being used here.
Just in relation to that, before I let you go, because I do find it quite interesting, and this is not me making an argument for or against. It's just looking at the lay of the land and wondering practically what we're going to do. And it might not apply to you or either to me, really, because it is the future. I'm just thinking at this stage, our economy is kind of topped out because we're at 100% employment. That being said, that I don't like that phrase because the cost of living is so high, being employed actually is disadvantageous for some people at this stage. But anyway, let's just say we're at 100% employment at the moment. We are an ageing population, thankfully. We're living longer, we're growing older, we're living longer, and hopefully we're going to be more healthy. But we're not producing enough babies at the moment to replenish the population. And we are going to find ourselves in the not too distant future, within 10, 20, 30 years. And this isn't like climate change, where you can argue back and forth on it or something like that there, or COVID or whatever. This is the fact stuff, and it's good to debate. But, you know, we're not producing enough babies, so we will, and this is happening all over the world, even in China, we won't have the younger population to be the tax base to pay for the services, to take up all the jobs that would be required, and also to care for older people in care settings or whatever it might be. Like, do you have any plan or do you have any notion as to how we square that circle, Kim, without inward migration? Because, as I say, we're not producing the children ourselves. So how do we ensure that our younger children and their children actually live in a society that can sustain itself without the movement of people into the country?
Well, just on your first point, right, our babies, our grandchildren are being produced in Australia right now. That's where it's all taking place. Okay, so they should not have been forced out of this country, right? Forced out because of lack of housing. Right. Now, the demand on housing has increased enormously because of the immigration, the mass immigration that all parties supported, yeah. Right?
No, you've made your point on immigration, and I think there's many people who agree with you, some will disagree. I'm on about just how we sustain this country into the future without future inward migration, if you know what I mean. Because even the Chinese, they've lifted the limits on how many children families could have. Because there's, yeah. and America is in the same situation. A lot of the Western countries, I don't know if it's societal or what have you, are finding themselves in this same situation, that they simply are not reproducing at a rate to sustain the population. What do you think there's anything from a policy perspective that can be done to address that, to avert further inward migration?
Yeah, we've got to incentivize our exiled people to come back to Ireland. We've got to incentivize them with grant schemes, with giving them, like, you know, a bit of land. Look, there's land everywhere. Like, most populations are at the coastal regions and in cities. There's loads of land. Like, the government can compulsory purchase land for other things. So they can do it for our youth who are abroad and bring our educated workers who were born and bred and educated in this country, bring them back to this country by incentivizing them 100%. Okay. We've got to look after our people abroad too, you know.
All right.
We can't just look after people who are coming in. We've got to try and bring our people back. Like, and they're highly educated workers. Bring them back. Okay. Bring our nurses and doctors back.
All right, then.
Right. You've got to just switch everything. And a switch can be flicked.
They can flick
a switch when they want an advantage, Greg.
All right, Kim. Thanks for your time. King McMinimum there, who is a candidate in the general election for the Irish People's Party. A caller says, I feel a lot of young people are leaving as life choice and nothing else. My kids have gone to Australia and they had jobs here. They simply left for a life experience. Kim needs to live in the real world where our medical professionals going to come from. We are important, most of them. But at the same time, an awful lot of young people, even though they're working, they're looking at their quality of life, right, and how much money they have at the end of the month. At the moment, there's many families with a mortgage of €1,000 and childcare costs of €1,200, and unable to pay bills and what have you. So maybe a lot of the young people feel like busy fools, and that's maybe why they want to see what life is like elsewhere. I get mixed reports as to what life is like in Australia. I know people work really, really hard, and it can be hard to gather up money too because they've got pressures. And they've also got sort of an anti-inward migration movement over in Australia as well. It's not necessarily all red carpet for the Irish. Totally in agreement with Kim McMenamin. Policies and grievances, but surely shouting and speaking over the radio host is not the way to gain votes until his party produces a prominent, calm speaker. They're going nowhere. Look, people are passionate. I'm certainly not bothered by the only one thing. The only one thing you want is just a conversation where the listener can get the points, and we kind of sort of have to some extent stay on topic. But there's quite a bit of latitude in there. And we are live here on the 9 till noon show in the company of Miranda Rosenberg, content creator and advocate for mental health. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. And as we all know now, one of the most popular platforms and most influential platforms on the earth is TikTok. And like all organisations, they have awards for those that create the content, because, I mean, let's face it, without content creators, a platform like TikTok is nothing. And you've been nominated for the TikTok Awards for Education Creator of the Year.
Yes.
Fantastic stuff. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am very excited about it. It's Ireland and the UK's first awards. So other countries have been doing it, but Ireland and UK finally decided, hey, we need to honor the people that are making content for us. Because in Ireland, TikTok has no creators fund. Mm-hmm. Like in the UK, you create content, you get paid for your content. We don't.
Yeah.
So the, I think Ireland wanted, TikTok Ireland wanted to hype us up a little bit.
Yeah, why not? Is it hopeful that, you know, the, there can be, there's no revenue at the moment from TikTok if you live in Ireland?
Correct.
None. Okay, the right.
No creators.
So that's disadvantage. That's a disadvantage. I mean, obviously, you want to inspire and encourage people to create content. I mean, you're doing it anyway, but, you know. Is it particularly important for you that you've been shortlisted in the Education Creator of the Year category, or that that's the area in which you're going to be considered?
Yes, because I love being an educator. I'm an educator in real life. I'm an educator online. In real life, I help people rebuild their self-esteem, their identity. I help them recover from trauma. But online, that's my outlet to teach people about sustainability and self-sufficiency. And I serve all of that up with a side of mental health.
And I have in front of me a lovely rose-shaped bar of soap, which smells delightful, right? This is part of your content too on TikTok, isn't it? Talk to me about that.
I like to teach people how to be sustainable and how to be self-sufficient in whatever way they are able, like you do what you can. So I teach them how to garden, how to make soap, how to repurpose waste products, what I call urban resources. Like, for instance, instead of using weed matting in my garden, I go to a furniture shop and take away all of their cardboard and use that for weed matting. And my ecosystem loves it. The earthworms love it. The bugs love it. And it breaks down. It's free for me to take away. And it's good for the environment.
Yeah, and it's also it's saving the energy required to recycle it as well. So there's that knock-on effect. And is that really what, you know, upcycling, recycling, reusing, creating your own products, generally speaking, is all about, isn't it? Because often we kind of feel we're compelled to do this stuff, that governments, we question their motives to make us want to drive electric cars or to do this or to do that. But the reality is you're showing that, you know, you can look after the environment, do your bit, right? Reduce wastage, but it's also beneficial to you yourself.
Yes.
So that's the just in all of this.
It is the just. And you've mentioned two different things there. So one is the value and belief system that supports whatever way a person enacts sustainability and whether or not it's practical to do so. My belief system is very simple. I want to do what I can in the way that I can and help the planet. I don't judge any other people. I don't force anybody else to do it. I just show how and you can choose whether or not to do it. Mm-hmm. The second part of that is how do you do it in a very practical way so it's not overwhelming? Because if somebody wanted to be sustainable today, the learning curve for that could be quite steep.
Yeah,
it's a lot to try and do everything all at once.
But you see, that's what we try to do. We try to do everything all at once, or at least that's how we view it being, whereas it's little steps that you take, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Just in terms of, you know, content creation and engaging with your audience, I mean, obviously, you know, what you are demonstrating or training or educating or however you want to phrase it is important too, right? But I think there has to be a personal connection. And you have to kind of be yourself, do you? Because, and unless your thing is not being yourself, which people can be quite successful at as well, right? But do you, you know, you open up about your life a bit too as well. You know, you're quite transparent on that platform. Do you think it's that too which has helped build your momentum and your following in that you're authentic?
Absolutely. I think my authenticity, I have a big personality. And it's nice that I can share that big personality online. It's nice that people are attracted to that. And I think the fact that I am extremely open, I'm open about the fact that I'm a survivor of domestic abuse. Therefore, when I talk about those things, people are more inclined to listen to what I have to say. I'm open about the challenges of being sustainable. And when I have failures, I show those too. Like I made jam once and the whole phone, as I was recording, fell into the jam and then the jam rolled over. I posted that as well.
So would I. It's fantastic. It's priceless.
And I think people are very attracted to that. So much so, I've gotten support for the TikTok Awards from local businesses.
Yeah, and I want to tell people how and encourage people to vote for you because it's only a short window. But also, too, in terms of, you know, when you speak openly about domestic violence and being a domestic violence survivor, you always reach someone, don't you? I'm sure your inbox or your DMs are either people that, you know, feel there's a sisterhood there as they went through it and you're speaking the words that maybe they can't articulate or don't want to. But also, you're always going to hit on someone who recognises what you're discussing in their own life, and maybe that might be a catalyst for them to make a change for themselves as well. So it's really quite, you know, it's really quite special, isn't it, to be able to have that influence on strangers, effectively, in many cases, although I'm sure you see them as your family. But you know what I mean, to be able to say, right, well, I've actually made a difference today.
Yes, it's, for me, it's come full circle. I talk openly about it because that's how I got started doing what I do. Like, I had a child with severe childhood eczema. I couldn't afford, as a newly single mother, to buy the products that he needed for his skin. So I learned how to make them. Like, my motivation in that moment wasn't sustainability. My motivation was protecting my wallet.
Driven by need.
And caring for my child. Mm-hmm. But in that same way, I developed this value for sustainability. And being able to speak to both of those things, about how I rebuilt my life as a single mother with two special needs kids and grew into sustainability, I think that has a larger impact than if I had approached it a different way.
Yeah, for sure. If people want to support you, how do they do so? Because there's an opportunity as well, too, in that, you know, we've got a rich pool of talent in TikTok Ireland world, right? But at the same time, too, it's not so rich in that if people are motivated, they can really make an impact here in your success, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? You're a big fish in a small pond, right?
No.
Do you not think
within
you are?
Within the world of the people
that
I'm...
in Ireland?
Even in Ireland, I'm up against people with 2, 3, 4 million followers.
It's quality, not quantity. Come on, Miranda. I need some positive vibes here.
Oh, I have all of the positive vibes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get them out of you because I know they're there. My point being is that people can make a difference today.
Yes.
So how do people vote for you, Miranda?
In order to vote for me, you can support me in one of two ways. If you're a small business, you can help support me getting to the TikTok Awards. Mm-hmm. So like Bloom Coffee here in Letterkenny or Sherry R. Nails are both supporting me getting to walk my first red carpet. I'm very excited about this. As well as Mary McKinney out in Bunkrana is making me a dress.
Oh, wow.
Because I couldn't get a dress and couldn't afford a dress. But if you are on TikTok and you want to support me, you simply search TikTok Awards. And when you do, a little banner pops up and you click on that and you can vote.
There you go. Okay. Your name is Miranda Rosenberg if people are searching you out, yeah?
Or Homestead Donegal.
Okay, Homestead Donegal. Mm-hmm. And when is this big red carpet event taking place?
It's on December the 3rd.
How exciting.
And I'll tell you why I'm excited about it. All these other content creators, because I run into them all the time, they get to go to premieres and shop openings and all these exciting things. I never get invited to anything. They're like, that's the soap lady. She doesn't want to walk a red carpet. So I am so excited to be able to like stand up and represent what I do. And it's being broadcast by Sky.
Brilliant.
So it's a big deal for me.
So we can keep an eye out for you. Yeah, and we know one thing for an absolute certain. A, given the person making your dress, you're going to look fantastic. And
yes.
Two, you're going to smell amazing. Because of the wonderful soap you produce. Well, Miranda, continued success. And I do hope you do very well in the awards, and why not? Mm-hmm. Is it judges and audience, or is it all audience votes? Or what way does
that
work?
It's all audience votes.
Really?
Votes. So they made a shortlist
okay.
of people based on the algorithm and who has the most support through engagement. And then I was selected for the shortlist. But now it's audience voting. And you can vote every day.
Yeah. I mean, I like that and I understand it, but it just... you will have people there that are established, right, with greater followings and those that are up and coming. You know, it's hard then to swing that balance, isn't it? But no better woman than yourself, Miranda, to do it. Thank you very much indeed for calling in. Lovely to see you as always. Take care. And if you are on TikTok, which I'm sure you are, search TikTok Awards, click the banner, find Homestead Donegal or Miranda Rosenberg and vote. Vote early and vote often every day.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much indeed.
Bye.
But I've got Angela McGillaway, consultant at Letterkenny University Hospital and ambassador for mumtalks.ie, Derry Donegal. Good morning to you. Thanks for calling in.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you in. And I suppose, too, we were speaking to Miranda just before the break, too, and she's talking about, you know, spreading her message, and the platform that she uses is amazing, too. This is similar, I think, isn't it? But in a sort of a different space. What is mumtalks.ie?
So basically, it was set up by two phenomenal women who were mums. So that's Kiara and Lucy. And it was about an event or something that is aimed at mums who have just had babies, or who are mums in general. And so there was there's always a lot of things going on directed at babies, like, you know, swimming lessons or sensory group, but nothing specific for mum. And it's such a vulnerable time in our life. It can be quite isolative. So what was really important for those ladies is sort of setting up something social and educational that's going to sort of empower women who are new mums.
And it's launched on Thursday.
Well, in Donegal, it's been launched on Thursday. So basically, it's national. You know, mm-hmm. we've got mum talk groups in Dublin and in Galway. And Galway was my first experience of it because that's where I had my little one. And I'm originally from Derry. And after having my little one and moving up here, it's definitely something I wanted to bring up north as well. Like, why should Donegal not be a part of it? So it's launching next Thursday, the 28th, at the lovely Castlegrove Country House Hotel at 10:30.
And I suppose, too, maybe the supports and conversations that might be had are quite obvious, too. But I presume this stuff comes up all the time and it can be tailored to whatever people want to hear. Or what have you, or what sports they might need.
Absolutely. So we've got three, we always have three speakers usually. So we'll have someone who's directed maybe towards mums, so whether that be like a pelvic floor physio. And, you know, on this occasion, we've got Geraldine Hanley, who's a perinatal mental health midwife specialist for the HSE at Letterkenny Hospital, talking about maternal mental health. And also then we have someone who might be directed towards babies, so it could be a play therapist, or on this occasion we've got Stephanie Donaldson, who is a phenomenal sleep consultant, telling us how to get the little humans down.
Yes, that's going to be really, that's going to be a really big chat.
I think she's going to be popular. Yeah. And then our third mum that we always try and have is a local business, because it's also about supporting the area. So we've got April Quigley, who is coming to tell us about her new venture, reasonably new venture, Bowen Ray. Yeah.
All right. It's in the Castlegrove Country House Hotel, Letterkenny, between 10:30 a.m. and 12 p.m. Mums, more than welcome to come and bring your babies if you wish.
Bring your baby. Don't bring your baby. Dress up for it. Put on a bit of lip balm. Come if you haven't been able to have a shower in 3 days. We don't care. We know what it's like.
Yeah.
And so it's about celebrating that and just being with like-minded moms, asking questions that maybe you didn't want to ask before, or getting validation for some of the things that you've been going through yourself.
Yeah, of course, because, you know, I mean, obviously some people are lucky maybe to have a family structure, sisters, older sister, aunt, mom or what have you. And that's fine, but that doesn't mean all questions are asked necessarily or answered and all supports is given. But there's an awful lot of people that kind of maybe feel they're going through it on their own. You know, when you come out of hospital, you've had the baby and you're kind of expected to be, everything's all right.
Oh, yeah.
The baby's there, sure. What could be wrong? Right, okay. And we also know statistically that, you know, sometime after birth, for instance, mm-hmm. postnatal depression mm-hmm. can become mm-hmm. apparent. It's not always immediate or what have you. And I'm not saying that's going to be the thrust of the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of challenges that can emerge in those in that first year and beyond.
Absolutely. And so why not educate ourselves about it? Why not talk about it? It's nothing to be ashamed of. As you said, the babies don't come with a manual. And even if they did, every single baby.
And we don't get training.
Oh, we don't. No. It's on the job. And people try and warn you.
Yeah, I know. There's no book.
It doesn't quite work like that. But you're absolutely right.
We don't
right.
have to do 12 lessons and then a test. It's just there you are. How much of this too also is about sort of, does it come from these meetings where maybe friendships are formed, or people in areas that weren't familiar with other mums in that area, that they become sort of a network or a support structure? Does that happen? Is that an intent or a byproduct of these, of mums talks, mum talks?
Absolutely intent as well. I mean, you can't help but it being a byproduct, because we're all going through the same thing at the same time. Someone's talking about sleep or talking about breastfeeding or talking about sort of partners and everything and anything comes up in the conversation. So it's hard not to. Mm. Like when you're a new mum, sometimes you can feel quite isolative from your friends, maybe if they're not mums either. And so the conversation and how you maintain it.
And there's something too about how we talk about children, because sometimes we want to portray everything as being perfect, right? And you know, especially if someone else says, oh, my baby's a great sleeper, you don't necessarily want to go, oh, really, because mine won't bloody sleep, right? You know what I mean? So this is a space where I suppose everyone is frank. You know what I mean? Because it's not plain sailing for anyone.
No.
It's tough.
You get the opportunity to do that and say that and hear that, because you're absolutely right. You know, social media, and we talked about how great it is and it can educate, but it can also sometimes be very isolative, where you see these mums thriving and it's great, but no one's going to post the dirty nappy that went up the back.
No, it's not. Yeah, it creates this false impression, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's the highlights.
We
okay.
need to diminish that.
So how do people can they just turn up at the Castlegrove Country House Hotel in Letterkenny on Thursday morning at 10:30?
So I'm giving giving you a bit of an exclusive, Greg.
Oh, I love exclusives.
We have got a 50% promo code. So they buy their tickets online before they come.
Mm-hmm.
But if they want to put in the letters M and T for Mum Talks and MT Letterkenny, all one word, all higher text, they will get 50% off the ticket.
Okay, and what happens on the day? Obviously, April Quigley's there, Stephanie Donaldson out for the Can't Sleep Consultancy, and Geraldine Hanley, a midwife as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is it three talks from them, or what else? How is it set up?
Yeah, so I'll be introducing our speakers. I'll be introducing sort of what Mum's Talks is, just as the ambassador, just having a little talk like we've had here. And then we'll get our three speakers to speak for about 20 minutes and then informal questions, or you can speak to them afterwards at the end whilst you're having your breakfast with baby on your knee or not on your knee. And then grab your goodie bag on the way home as well. So
brilliant. Sounds chilled too as well.
Yes, very much.
And it's up to people to decide. They're newborn. It could be 18 months. It could be...
Absolutely.
2 weeks. It's up, people can make up their own mind in relation to that, can't they? All right, listen, brilliant stuff, Angela. Thanks so much for calling in. And if you go to mumtalks.ie to book your ticket there, there's a promo code MT.
MT Letterkenny.
MT Letterkenny, okay.
All
and you can
word.
Get a what discount?
50%.
Sweet. All right, then. Thanks, Angela.